From a haunted duplex with dolls that watch your every move, to a young man grappling with forces that seek to control his very soul, and a childhood pact that shadows a life with unexplained phenomena, these stories will make you question what lies beyond the veil. In this episode, we journey through tales that straddle the thin line between our world and the one just beyond our sight. From the innocent beginnings of childhood fears to the harrowing depths of unseen battles within, we explore stories that challenge the very fabric of reality. Prepare yourself for a journey into the unknown, where the forces of darkness clash with the resilience of the human spirit. Story 1. In the heart of a quaint, unassuming neighborhood stood a duplex, shrouded not in mist, but in an air of normalcy so thick one could almost forget the secrets it harbored within. This duplex, with its peeling paint and creaking floors, was home to young Amanda, a girl with a heart full of dreams and a room full of dolls. Among her collection, one doll stood out. Molly. Molly was not just a doll. She was Amanda's confidant, her silent sister in arms against the loneliness of childhood. But as nights turned into days and the seasons changed, so too did the atmosphere around Molly. What started as an inexplicable feeling of unease grew into a tangible presence of dread, encircling Amanda's once peaceful sanctuary. The air grew thick. The shadows in the corner of her room danced with a life of their own. And Molly's eyes seemed to follow Amanda with a knowledge far beyond her inanimate nature. Amanda, with her innocence still intact, could not fathom the depth of darkness that was beginning to seep into her life. She was unaware that the duplex, with its benign exterior, was a vessel for stories untold, for histories best left forgotten. And as she lay her head down each night, the veil between her world and the one that lay just beyond grew even thinner, inviting in whispers of a past that refused to die. As the autumn leaves began to fall, casting long shadows across the duplex, Amanda's once comforting room felt increasingly oppressive, especially at night. It started with small, almost imperceptible changes. Molly's head turned to watch Amanda move around the room, or the faint sound of fabric rustling when all was still. Amanda tried to convince herself it was all just her imagination, but the whispering voices at night, too soft to decipher, but too persistent to ignore, suggested otherwise. Her parents, grounded in the tangible world of daylight and logic, met her concerns with reassuring smiles and rational explanations. "It's just the house settling," a mother would say. "Or, you're just letting your imagination run wild," her father would chide gently. But as the phenomena escalated, with dolls found in different places from where they were left, and Molly's expression seeming to change from benign to malevolent, Amanda's fear deepened. The divide between her reality and her parents' disbelief grew, leaving her feeling isolated in her dread. In this atmosphere of growing tension and fear, Amanda began to dread nightfall, when the boundary between her world and the shadows seemed most permeable, and her once beloved Molly became a symbol of her torment. Amanda's nightmares intensified, transforming her room into a stage for a harrowing spectacle around Molly. One night in particular stood out with chilling clarity. As thunder rumbled distantly, Amanda found herself in the throes of a vivid nightmare. Her room, bathed in an eerie, unnatural light, seemed to stretch and warp around her. Molly sat at the foot of her bed, her porcelain face illuminated by the flickering shadows, now twisted into a sinister grin. The doll's eyes, once dull and lifeless, glowed with a malevolent fire, locking onto Amanda with an intensity that froze her to the spot. The air thickened, charged with an impending sense of doom. Molly began to move, her stiff limbs creaking unnaturally as she stood up, towering over Amanda. The doll's voice, a horrifying amalgamation of the familiar and the grotesque, filled the room, whispering dark promises of eternal companionship in a realm beyond the living. Paralyzed by fear, Amanda could only watch as Molly approached, each step resonating with the beating of her own heart. As the doll reached out, its hand inches from Amanda's face, she felt the cold touch of the otherworldly. In that moment, the boundary between dream and reality blurred, and Amanda was convinced that the horrors of her nightmares were manifesting in her waking world. She woke with a start, the echo of Molly's whispers still lingering in her ears, a chilling reminder of the night's ordeal. The next morning, she found Molly positioned at the foot of her bed, exactly as in her nightmare, cementing Amanda's fear that what she experienced at night was far more than just a dream. The once subtle disturbances in Amanda's room gave way to a more sinister presence, reaching a crescendo one stormy evening. As Amanda lay in bed, the air charged with tension. She watched in horror as objects began to move of their own accord. A bookshelf trembled, its contents rattling like the teeth of a chilling winter's cold, before books, one by one, flung themselves across the room, their pages fluttering in silent screams. The climax of this terrifying symphony was Molly's performance. The doll, which had once sat placidly on a shelf, now seemed to levitate, hovering with an otherworldly grace before it was hurled across the room, narrowly missing Amanda's frozen figure. The doll's impact against the far wall was the final note in the night's eerie melody, leaving a silence so profound, it seemed as though the world itself was holding its breath. Terrified beyond reason, Amanda made a decision born of desperation. With trembling hands, she gathered Molly and every doll that had witnessed the night's horrors, determined to rid herself of the entities that had turned her sanctuary into a nightmare. The act of discarding Molly was not just a physical one. It was a symbolic severance of the ties that bound Amanda to the darkness that had infiltrated her life. Yet, as she attempted to extricate herself from this haunting, a chilling realization dawned on her. The darkness was not just confined to Molly or any object, but was a pervasive force, clinging to the very essence of her being, threatening to overshadow her existence with its malevolent embrace. In the aftermath of that harrowing night, Amanda and her family made the difficult decision to leave the duplex behind, seeking refuge in a new home, free from the shadows that had so thoroughly invaded their lives. As they drove away, Amanda watched the familiar silhouette of the house disappear, feeling a mix of relief and an indefinable loss. The ordeal had left its mark, not just in the form of sleepless nights and wary glances over her shoulder, but in the way she perceived the world around her. Amanda had come to understand that some attachments, no matter how innocent or cherished, could transform into sources of profound fear, teaching her a lesson in the power of the unseen and the strength required to let it go. The dolls, once symbols of comfort and companionship, had become conduits for something far beyond her understanding, forever altering her relationship with the past and the things she held dear. Story 2. In the heart of a bustling city lived Colin, a 19-year-old whose faith was as deep as the oceans, but whose soul was shadowed by battles less visible. battling depression, anxiety, and the relentless grip of insomnia since childhood, Colin found solace in what he called the Vault, a mental fortress where nightmares and traumatic memories were locked away, hidden from the light of day. This coping mechanism also served as a silent cry for help, a signal that not all was well in the depths of Colin's being. As he navigated the complexities of young adulthood, the fine line between spiritual warfare and mental anguish became ever more blurred, setting the stage for a journey that would challenge the very core of his beliefs. The descent into Colin's psyche began one seemingly mundane afternoon, when, amidst the cacophony of the city, he found himself standing at the edge of a subway platform, teetering on the brink of an abyss far deeper than the tracks below. It was in this moment, as the screech of an approaching train filled the air, that Colin experienced an unbidden and terrifying clarity. A voice, not his own, yet frighteningly intimate, whispered a suggestion so dark, so alien to his nature, that the very fabric of his reality began to fray. Shaken to his core, Colin retreated into the Vault, his mental sanctuary. However, this time, the door to the Vault seemed heavier, a lock tarnished with doubts. That night, as he lay in bed, a prisoner in his own racing thoughts, the Vault cracked open, unleashing a torrent of suppressed memories and fears. Shadows danced across the walls of his room, morphing into grotesque figures that whispered promises of release, of peace beyond the pain. Colin's heart raced as he realized these were not mere phantoms of sleep deprivation, but something far more sinister, something that clawed at the edges of his faith, seeking entrance. Colin's life took an eerie turn, as his daily routines became punctuated by moments of unnerving clarity and inexplicable sensations. While walking through familiar streets, he'd suddenly feel as if he was stepping through them for the first time, and the last, all at once. Each corner had a sense of déjà vu, whispering secrets of a life he couldn't recall living. The most chilling episode unfolded one quiet evening at home, where Colin, in a state between wakefulness and sleep, experienced a visceral memory of dying, a sensation so real he could almost taste the final breath escaping his lips. These instances, growing in intensity, began to erode the barrier between Colin's reality and a realm that seemed eagerly waiting just beyond his perception. Amidst the whirlwind of confusion and fear, Colin's best friend, a beacon of faith and loyalty, stepped in. Recognizing the depth of Colin's torment, he suggested a cause that seemed as ancient as it was terrifying: demonic possession. Determined to aid his friend, he orchestrated an impromptu exorcism within the cramped confines of a car, an unlikely sanctuary against the unseen forces at play. As they parked on a secluded street, bathed in the dim light of the dashboard, Colin's friend began to recite prayers with a fervor that filled the space, his words a shield against the darkness encroaching upon Colin's soul. The air grew heavy, as if resisting the sacred words, while Colin, caught between skepticism and desperation, felt an inner turmoil that mirrored the storm raging outside. This moment, a clash of faith against fear, would mark a turning point in Colin's journey, confirming the power of friendship and belief in the face of the unfathomable. In the immediate aftermath of the exorcism, Colin was engulfed in a whirlwind of emotions. Relief, however fleeting, washed over him as the final words of the prayer echoed in the car. Yet, beneath this temporary calm, a storm of confusion and fear continued to rage. Colin, grappled with the surreal nature of what had just occurred, questioning the boundaries of his own belief and the reality of his experiences. This internal battle marked the beginning of a nuanced journey, where relief was interwoven with deep-seated unrest and unanswered questions. As days turned into weeks, Colin's struggles persisted, taking on new forms. Involuntary movements began to plague him at unexpected moments, serving as jarring reminders of the unseen battle he continued to fight. These episodes, coupled with his ongoing mental challenges, drew skepticism from the professionals he sought out for help. Despite their expertise, the explanations felt inadequate, dismissing the spiritual dimensions of his ordeal. Colin found himself at the crossroads of faith and medicine, searching for a path that acknowledged the complexity of his condition in its entirety. Colin's journey did not end with the exorcism. It merely marked a new chapter in his ongoing battle. Navigating the complexities of his mental and spiritual health, he continued to seek a balance between his steadfast faith and the challenges that tested it. This path was neither straight nor easy, but it was his to walk, armed with the lessons learned and the support of those who stood by him. Story 3. In a quiet town nestled between reality and the whispers of the unseen, lived Stane, a man marked by a life filled with inexplicable occurrences that challenged his skepticism of the paranormal. Despite a childhood shadowed by events that defied logical explanation, Stane maintained a firm disbelief in anything beyond the tangible world. His past was a tale woven with threads of mystery and unanswered questions. Each event drew him closer to the truth he sought to ignore. As we delve into Stane's story, we tread the line between skepticism and belief, exploring the shadows of a life touched by the unexplainable. One of Stane's earliest memories and most unsettling experiences occurred on a seemingly ordinary day in his childhood backyard. As he played near an old gnarled tree stump, a favourite haunt for his imaginary adventures, the ground beneath it began to shift. Without warning, a swarm of mice burst forth from the earth, their bodies not scampering in panic, but moving with unnatural coordination, circling the stump as if driven by some unseen force. Stane, frozen in a mix of fascination and horror, watched as the mice formed intricate patterns, only to disappear back into the ground as suddenly as they had appeared. This incident, though brief, marked the beginning of Stane's journey into the realm of the unexplainable, forever blurring the lines between the natural world and that which lies beyond. During a particularly turbulent period of Stane's childhood, overwhelmed by a sense of isolation and despair, he found himself whispering a plea into the darkness of his room. A plea for anything, anyone, to take away the pain. That night, as he lay in bed, the air thickened, and from the corner of his room emerged a shadow, tall and imposing, yet without discernible source. This figure, while not speaking, emanated a sense of understanding and agreement, marking the moment of an unspoken pact between Stane and the unseen. Years later, as Stane navigated the stormy winters of adolescence, an event occurred that would forever change his trajectory. One evening, under the cloak of dusk, he ventured into the woods, drawn by a pull he couldn't explain. There, in a clearing bathed in moonlight, he encountered the shadow once more. This time, it moved closer, and Stane could feel a transfer of energy, a warmth flooding through him. leaving him with a newfound sense of power and a shift in his perception of the world. This encounter did not bring fear, but a profound awakening of the forces that had silently guided his path. As Stain's life progressed, the presence that once lingered at the edges of his awareness began to assert itself with an undeniable force. This escalation coincided with the arrival of Stain's girlfriend, a medium with a sensitivity to the unseen. Her presence acted as a catalyst, intensifying the paranormal activity around them. One night, their home became the stage for an eerie display of poltergeist activity. Objects moved without touch, lights flickered in a chaotic dance, and a chilling cold enveloped them, leaving no doubt of an otherworldly presence. The culmination of these events was the discovery of a mark on Stain's body, a series of intricate symbols that appeared overnight, etched into his skin as if by an invisible hand. This mark, a physical manifestation of his bond with the entity, served as a stark reminder of the unseen pact made years ago. It propelled Stain on a quest for answers, seeking understanding, and perhaps a way to sever the ties that bound him to a force beyond comprehension. Story 4. In a quiet suburb, where each house tells a story, we find Dave, a young boy whose life is about to be forever altered by a chilling encounter. The night air is still, disturbed only by the soft breathing of a child asleep. Dave, nestled on the floor of his brother's room, is jolted awake, not by a sound, but by a palpable shift in the room's energy. As he rubs the sleep from his eyes, his gaze is drawn to the doorway. There, silhouetted against the dim light in the hallway, stands a figure, ghastly in its appearance, with white hair and a bald crown. Dressed in overalls, its eyes sunken, skin a pale grey, and fingers ending in long, black claws. The entity's gaze locks with Dave's. A silent standoff before, it charges, grabbing Dave by the ankles and dragging him into the darkness. Dave's screams dissolve into the void, unheard, as the entity whispers a promise that chills the soul. You'll see me again. This first encounter marks the beginning of a haunting that will stretch over 2 decades. A nightmare revisited with unnerving regularity. Each episode, identical to the first, leaves Dave wrestling with the boundaries of reality, trapped in a cycle of fear and desperation for answers. Every subsequent encounter with this entity unfolded with chilling precision, echoing the terror of the first. Dave's life became a cycle of anticipation and dread, each week marked by the presence of the sinister figure in his dreams. The entity's visits were not merely repetitions, but an ongoing reminder of the grip it had on his psyche. The room, the creature's appearance, its swift predatory movement, and the cold, unmistakable feel of its claws. Every detail was etched into Dave's memory with horrifying clarity. The smell, a mix of damp earth and decay, filled the room each time, a sensory confirmation of the nightmare's vividness. Dave's pleas for help, whispered into the night, went unanswered, leaving him to face the reoccurring terror alone. The entity's parting words, "You'll see me again," became a haunting refrain, a promise that bound Dave to a cycle of fear and helplessness, challenging his grasp on reality and pushing him to the brink of despair. Driven by an unyielding desire to escape his nocturnal tormentor, Dave embarked on a quest for answers, reaching out to a diverse array of sources in hope of understanding or dispelling the entity. His journey led him to consult mental health professionals, who offered explanations rooted in psychology. But these did not resonate with the palpable reality of his experiences. Paranormal investigators and spiritual advisors provided insights into the supernatural, yet none could offer a solution that alleviated Dave's dread. Each failed attempt not only deepened his despair, but also isolated him further, as the boundary between his waking life and the nightmare realm grew increasingly blurred. Reaching his breaking point after yet another terrifying visitation, Dave resolved to confront the entity directly. In a defiant stand, fueled by fears of pent-up fear and desperation, he waited in the darkness of his room for the familiar presence. As the entity appeared, Dave's heart raced, but his resolve did not waver. He challenged the creature, demanding freedom from the cycle of terror. This moment of confrontation marked a turning point, a bold step toward reclaiming control over his life and dreams, signifying Dave's refusal to remain a victim of the unseen. Story 5. In the quiet suburbia, where ordinary lives unfold, Dean navigates his senior year with the typical concerns of a teenager on the brink of adulthood. Amidst the thrum of anticipation for the future and the fidelity of high school's end, Dean harbors a secret that isolates him from his peers, a rare and unsettling condition known as sleep paralysis. These episodes, infrequent yet profoundly disturbing, puncture the normalcy of his life, introducing an undercurrent of dread to his otherwise mundane existence. As Dean stands on the precipice of major life changes, including a mission that promises new beginnings, the shadow of his nocturnal visitor looms, threatening the stability of the world he knows. During Dean's senior year, a night that began like any other took a terrifying turn. As he lay in the familiar comfort of his bed, Dean abruptly transitioned from sleep to an unnerving state of wakefulness, ensnared in the grip of sleep paralysis. The room, once a haven of tranquility, transformed into a stage for a chilling apparition. There, atop him, materialized a mangled girl, her visage haunting, pale skin marred with streaks of black, resembling war paint. This spectral figure, with its deep sunken eyes, seemed to stare into Dean's very soul, immobilizing him not just physically, but with a fear so acute it bordered on the primal. Despite the terror, Dean's attempt to scream was thwarted by the paralysis, leaving him to confront the apparition in a battle waged within the silent screams of his mind. Following the harrowing encounter with the spectral girl, Dean found himself in a serene period where the chains of sleep paralysis seemed to have released their hold. This respite allowed him a taste of normalcy, when nights were once again realms of rest rather than battlegrounds of the mind. It was during this time of peace that Dean embarked on his mission, a journey he hoped would be marked by growth and new experiences, untouched by shadows of his past. This calm between the storms of his encounters offered Dean a glimpse into a life unmarred by the nocturnal terrors, a precious interval that he cherished, unaware of the darkness that awaited on the horizon. As Dean settled into the rhythm of his mission, he encountered a new, more disconcerting variation of his sleep paralysis. This phase was marked not by immobility and dread, but by surreal out-of-body experiences. He would wake up, sit up, and observe his surroundings with clarity that rivaled his waking vision, only to realize upon truly waking that he had never moved at all. This eerie duplication of reality, where each detail of his room was as vivid as in daylight, blurred the lines between sleep and wakefulness, casting a shadow of uncertainty over what was real. In the depth of another sleep paralysis episode during his mission, Dean's room was invaded by a second, more menacing presence. Illuminated by the faint glow of streetlights, the door creaked open to reveal a figure that seemed to crawl from the very shadows, its movements both graceful and grotesque. This entity, akin to the first, but exuding a more potent aura of malevolence, advanced towards Dean with deliberate, slow crawls, its pale skin adorned with black stripes that seemed to absorb the light around it. At the foot of Dean's bed, the creature paused, its face splitting to a grin that could only be described as predatory. Then, in a moment that felt suspended outside time, its gaze shifted towards Dean's companion, a look filled with intentions dark and unfathomable. However, unlike the paralyzing fear that gripped him during his first encounter, Dean felt a surge of anger, an emotion so powerful it seemed to burn through the fog of paralysis. Driven by this newfound rage, Dean attempted to confront the intruder, only to be met with an invisible force that seized him, causing half his body to cramp in agonizing pain. Yet, this physical torment only fueled his determination, pushing him to challenge the entity further. As he inched closer, fueled by a mix of fury and desperation, the demon's expression shifted from amusement to annoyance, eventually retreating back into the darkness from which it came. Dean's ordeal ended with a sensation of falling, a familiar yet disconcerting conclusion to his sleep paralysis episodes, leaving him to wake in the real world, still feeling the echoes of the cramps that had seized him in his dreams. This encounter, marked by physical agony and a confrontation fueled by anger, added a new layer to Dean's experiences, suggesting a connection between the physical and the ethereal, the tangible and the unseen. In the aftermath of his unsettling encounters, Dean found himself wrestling with a blend of physical exhaustion and a profound sense of curiosity about the nature of the beings that visited him. The physical cramps that gripped half his body served as a stark, painful reminder of the reality of his experiences, challenging his understanding of the boundary between the physical and the spiritual realms. Reflecting on these episodes, Dean pondered the connection between the two entities he encountered, their shared appearance hinting at a deeper, perhaps more sinister link. The dread that once consumed him began to morph into a determined quest for answers. Compelled by a desire to understand and perhaps to find solace in shared experiences, Dean reached out to a wider community. He shared his story in forums and discussions, seeking insights from those who might have encountered similar phenomena. This act of vulnerability, of laying bare his most terrifying experiences, was Dean's way of grappling with the unknown, a step towards demystifying the shadows that had long haunted his nights. In doing so, Dean not only sought to untangle the mystery of his own experiences, but also offer a beacon of understanding for others navigating their own encounters with the unseen. As we conclude this episode, we invite you to reflect on your own experiences, fears, and beliefs. Are there unexplained phenomena that have touched your life? How do you reconcile the tangible with the intangible? The world of the unseen remains a vast and mysterious landscape, and it is in our exploration of it that we may discover hidden depths within ourselves. Thank you for listening to this podcast on whichever platform you are choosing to do so. Before I go, I just wanted to give a bit of an update and apology on my absence from creating any new content over the past few months. I've been navigating some significant life changes that include moving from Georgia to Colorado, starting a business, and handling some mental health issues. I was suffering from some burnout due to the challenges I faced last year with losing my job, and I was putting in a bunch of work to try and revive my YouTube channel, and instead of growing, things were just going backwards. I had to take a break and do some serious introspection. I've been trying to explore new formats and subjects from where things started on YouTube, and relying too much on AI to help along the way, and I forgot about where my content creation started from, which is simply telling people stories. I was sidetracked by trying to be a hugely successful YouTube channel and compete with others, and then I forgot my storytelling was the real reason why people enjoyed what I did in the first place. I want to return to my storytelling and narration roots, so stories like the ones you have just heard, more personal type stories, will be my main focus moving forward. And for the time being, as I navigate these life changes, I'll only be sticking to a bi-weekly upload schedule for longer content episodes. I will still be creating short reels and other content on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, so if you don't already, head over to those platforms and follow me there. In the meantime, thanks again for listening.